Tonight, after the pill, doctors are now developing the abortion pill. The question is, should they? It's live, it's Central Weekend, with an audience from Worcester, and your hosts tonight, Sujay, Anna Soubry, and Andy Gray.
Good evening, welcome, thank you, welcome to Central Weekend Live. Later on, we'll be hearing from the new breed of radio pirates, prepared to break the law to reach an audience. Radio pirates like this gentleman. His name is Chicken George. Who do you work for, Chicken?
I work for People's Community Radio in Birmingham.
And what exactly do you do for them? What is your job with them?
Well, my official title is Community Affairs Editor, Political Editor and Breakfast Host.
What is your biggest political story at the moment then?
Well, at the moment there are three main issues that we're looking at. One, of course, is the new white paper that is on broadcasting.
Indeed, one that affects many of,
all of us,
many of us, including yourselves.
Right.
Technically, you are breaking the law at the moment. We'll be discussing more about pirate radio stations later on in the programme. For the moment, Chicken George, thanks for joining us.
Yes, indeed, we look forward to that. Chicken George and his qualifications as a political correspondent later. Now, if you have a point to make on any of our debates tonight, then call us on this number, 021-631-3080. That's 021-631-3080. And also later, as Prince Charles heads for his 40th birthday and the Philosan, if you accept this less than regal portrait in The Observer, we tackle a taboo question. Is the male menopause fact or fiction?
Well, from possible male myths to very definite female realities. For more than two decades now, women have been able to have certain pregnancies terminated by abortion. And that's usually meant having an operation. But a new pill may be the key to what some are calling the designer abortion. Tests are now underway in Britain. And as well as
Right, soul searchers, I'm just about to open the love line. So if you want to find your ideal soulmate, then stay tuned, because you ain't going to find one anywhere else, especially not in a club. They're so loud! How are you supposed to get to know someone when it sounds like you got your head stuck up the exhaust pipe of a jumbo jet? But unless you're brilliant at mime or semaphore, you got no way of getting across, you know what I mean? So, if you're more interested in romancing than dancing, in proposing than posing, then let your fingers do the talking and call Soul Search right now. All right, now remember on last week's Soul Search when we talked to Gary, who was into pets, and Sharon, who was well into gardening? Well, Soul Search got the two of them together, and now they're blissfully happy, burying cats in the back garden.
Yes, but it's not a bundle of laughs if you're a legitimate radio station faced with a legal opposition. The two sides disputing the airwaves line up in a couple of minutes on Central Weekend. Do join us.
A couple of phone calls I'd like to tell you about. One from Mrs. Poles from Stourbridge, who says that she suffers from multiple sclerosis, and because of that she can't take the contraceptive pill. She says if she got pregnant, because obviously she has a sex life, this pill would be wonderful. And Mrs. Fisher from Peterborough, why does it always have to be the woman? It's far cheaper for a man to have a vasectomy. Why don't the men do it? Now the battle of the airwaves, and who better to referee the row than a former radio DJ? Listen to this.
If you're travelling on the Central Motorway tonight in Newcastle, you have a problem. A beer tanker has broken down on the southbound carriageway, and the traffic associations tell us they're expecting 4 mile tailbacks, would you believe? Anyway, you shouldn't be on the roads tonight. You should be staying in and getting your weekly dose of soul. Simply Soul, Thursdays and Saturday nights, 261-97 VHF in stereo. Let's go back down those years with Marvin Gaye and one of my favourites.
Wasn't he lovely? I bet they miss him up in Newcastle.
I'll tell you, when the beer tankers used to overturn in Newcastle, they came out in the thousands. Anyway, this month the government has announced that up to 20 new licences would be granted to what are called community radio stations. But such moves haven't prevented pirates servicing continually over the last 20 years. The original pirates literally took to the waves in the early 60s.
This is Radio Caroline on 199 metres, your all-day music station, Britain's first commercial radio station. My name's Tom Lodge, your disc jockey for the next hour.
Wonderful Radio London, olay!
Screaming Lord Such sprinted to the decks to launch his radio station off the Essex coast. The police launched raiding parties by sea and by air in an attempt to put the pirates off the dial. More than 20 years on, Department of Trade investigators on their way to a raid on today's radio pirates. Their studios are often makeshift premises in city centre tower blocks. Well, that is the situation with the pirates. Lord Such, hot from the Govan by-election.
Yes.
I think you deserve a round of applause for that, actually. It probably sounds like it. Back in 1962, I mean, you were one of the original pirates.
That's correct,
Why did you feel the need in those days to actually break the law and set up your own station?
Because no one would play my records. That's being honest. No, besides me, there was a lot of other people, like Cliff Bennett and Chris Farlow and the Yardbirds, and these birds were not getting played on the radio. Because all we had at the time was classical music and Mantovani. That's all, literally. So these pirate stations created the swinging 60s. They really did.
But there were occasions. Caroline,
Radio London and Radio Such created that whole 60s epidemic.
All said in the same breath. Yeah.
Which was known. Without the pirates, you can ask all your other guests that know anything about it, that was there at the time, that there have been no Beatles and no Rolling Stones, because the BBC would never play them.
Okay, now, but one of the interesting things when you used to run your station is you were continually hassled by the law, as you'd expect to be, because you were breaking the law.
That's correct. It used to be a fishing boat in the morning. I had this Cobra Cabana. It was a fishing boat in the morning, because I couldn't afford a proper big boat. And so early in the morning it was a fishing boat, and at 11 o'clock onwards it was a Radio Such. But his insurance got taken away. That's why I had to go on those guns.
But on a serious note, I mean, you actually did take the law enforcing bodies on when you actually brandished a shotgun at them.
Yes, well, because that's correct. I was that man.
This is serious. I mean,
it's true.
But I've got news for you. They're waiting for you outside.
Well, what happened? I was on these gun towers, and they said that's government property, right? Because the boat had its insurance taken away. Everything was happening to us. We had a boat. They said, we've insured you for a fishing boat, not to be Radio Such. See, so they took their insurance away, and he said, you've got to go somewhere else. And no other boat would go. We were on the gun towers, government property, and we was we were literally transmitting from government property. But they had abandoned them. And they didn't realise that when they tried to throw us off. A big battleship come and said, get off those gun towers. And we said,
so you took the Royal Navy on with your shotgun.
We said, clear off, this is such land now. Because you've abandoned it for more than 8 years and I claim squatter's rights.
Okay, well you weren't the only pirate operating those days. We've got Simon D with us, ladies and gentlemen, here.
Hello, how are you?
I mean, you were one of the original voices on Caroline, were you not? You came off onto dry land in about 1966. In fact, we've got a few clips of you actually lined up, I think, to see, performing, in fact, for the BBC when you came off.
Yeah.
So you became legal at the end of it all.
That's right.
But, I mean, in a sense, didn't you feel that you'd really started something when you became a pirate? Could you have possibly envisaged that we'd be still having pirates around today?
Oh, yes, when we began, we had no idea of the response that we'd get. It became apparent after a couple of months when the mail started coming in. And then we were getting literally hundreds of thousands of letters.
You used to smoke in those days a lot on the air as
did
well.
Is that me? That's me. Oh, my God. What a good-looking guy.
Just as well you didn't see all of it. Go on.
Where was I? Where were you?
Well, you were talking about the heady days of pirate.
Oh, yeah, we just... it suddenly became apparent there was a place for a radio station playing, as David says, for all the stuff that wasn't being played, and we were Tamla Motown and Barbara Streisand and Bob Dylan and the Stones and the entire Liverpool sound and all the American stuff. And of course we found this hole in people's ears, as you might say. But and
this was well before, of course, independent local radio came on the scene, and many of the other BBC local radio stations came on the scene.
You have to remember the times of 64.
But you were breaking the law.
Well, we were told we were, but in fact, in England, as you know, when you do something for the first time, you're quickly told you're breaking the law.
Okay, well, that's a very interesting point, because now that you set the ball in motion all those years ago, there are stations to this day still breaking the law. In fact, we've got Cecil Morris, who is from PCRL, which is a station... which is a station... in Birmingham.
That's right.
Now, Cecil, you day in and day out actually do flout the law. Now, the only reason that you're not off the air is because you haven't been caught red-handed, is it not?
If I was being caught red-handed, that doesn't mean that we would be off the air. PCRL is run by 40 presenters plus thousands of supporters. And it means if I was caught myself, there would have been a continuation of the station by the other people who need and know that there is a need for such service.
Why do you continue to broadcast, though, when there are so many other opportunities opening up in the whole field of broadcasting at the moment? Why do you continue to broadcast today?
I don't know about opportunities open up for the people that we broadcast for. There is a lack of opportunities for the group of people who enjoy PCRL programming. And it goes to show by the thousands, we should say millions of people who listen to PCRL, that there is a need for a station like PCRL Radio.
Well, those who disagree are going to have the chance to have their say in a moment. But, I mean, you do go to quite extraordinary lengths in some cases to avoid being detected and also being arrested.
Oh, yes.
Your station is one example, but there's a station called Powerhouse, and this is John of Powerhouse.
That's right, yeah.
Just what kind of lengths do you go to avoid being taken off the air?
Well, video surveillance equipment, people watching the blocks, two-way radio systems.
So you've got it well worked out, have
That's
you?
That's right, yeah. It's 4-0 so far.
In other words, you've been raided four times, or you've been attempted to be raided?
The equipment's been hid and stashed.
So you lose all the gear.
Let me come to Ian Rufus, who's the managing director of BRMB. Now, you know, are these people just harmless enthusiasts, or, I mean, are they really affecting the standard of broadcasting today in the UK?
If these people were harmless enthusiasts, then I don't think we'd be sitting here today. The point is that BRMB Radio in Birmingham has been taken off the air on at least two occasions by Mr. Morris and his colleagues at PCRL by operating a very poorly regulated transmitter, which put out a spurious signal which took our FM transmitter off the air for 10 days last Christmas and for several days
You're effectively saying they're stealing your airwaves, are they?
They're stealing our airwaves, which we pay... Total
rubbish.
I'm sorry, you did. Our airways, which we pay the Independent Broadcasting Authority, in just our case, £300,000 a year to rent at that transmitter. They steal the legally earned royalties of recording artists.
Just a second, we'll have a chance to actually respond to that. Carry on, Ian.
The transmitters that they use, if you speak to the police and the fire brigade, will tell you that they represent a severe fire risk in the tower blocks in which they're installed. And in one case, not in Birmingham, I have to admit, but in London, the air traffic control people down at Heathrow Airport had to close one of the main runways and transfer all flights to an emergency runway because a particular pirate station down in London was interfering with emergency air traffic control transmissions. They're very, very dangerous people. They're not harmless enthusiasts. They're dangerous individuals.
Okay, let Cecil Morris, on behalf of his station, respond to that. I mean, there were three accusations there. I mean, that you're irresponsible, you're a fire risk, and that you're actually stealing from the people who are making the music.
First of all, I'll deal with the stealing element. We do not accept the title pirates. Pirates are people who steal things. Now, I've got a document here of a recording company and the artists that send us continually records to be played on PCRL Radio and station like PCRL Radio, because station like BRMB
You're telling me that musicians generally would be very happy to have their records played and not...
Yes. Without any doubt, because you see what is actually happening. You have people like BRMB station who just caters for the rich boys, like the big recording companies who can put money in their pockets. Now, there are a lot of local talents. There are a lot of local talents but around they have the country who needs...
They actually have the license to do that.
We would like a license from 1980 since we've been actually pursuing community radio station, and we've been actually applied to the Home Office, Leon Britton, when he was Home Secretary. It went to Geneva until the European Community decided that there is a need for stations like PCRL Radio and extended Britain frequency from 88 megahertz to 108 megahertz to accommodate stations like PCRL.
Okay, what about this accusation about safety and about the fact that you're a fire risk in office blocks and tall buildings and things
so
like that?
So far, we had no complaint from anyone. We are a responsible group of people. We've got engineers to make sure that we do not interfere with any other broadcasting. Now, I know that Ian Ruthless, whatever he may call,
it's
is
Mr.
making...
Rufus, yeah?
That's what his name is. He's actually saying that we've taken him off the air for 10 days. I cannot envisage that actually happening without that being some big, massive news in the newspapers and on central television itself.
You know very well that over a 10-day period last Christmas, you took us off the air. We were on the telephone to you on
That's
several
right.
occasions.
That is the total lie.
In the summer of this year, you received...
It's my turn
you,
to... You, it's my turn
could
to,
I just finish,
No,
please?
I'm not finished yet. It's my turn to actually reply to your accusation.
In the summer
yes?
of this year,
and I'm saying
year,
to you,
you
that
received,
after the DTI was unsuccessful in bringing us off the air, he and Rufus, who come from somewhere, know nothing about Sheffield. Birmingham community or what Birmingham community
make
requires.
Make your point quickly, then.
Said, if the DTI cannot take a PCRL radio off the air, we will do something about taking them off the air. And what they did was to make complaints to the DTI that we are interfering with them, when that was a total lie. And they know when they make such accusation, then the DTI have no alternative but to take action.
We will come back. We'll come back to the legal side in a moment. But Simon, do you were anxious to get in there?
I think we're slightly failing to understand what has happened to youth, if I may use a colloquialism, as a result of the last 20 years of radio, when lots of kids actually want to start a radio station because they're so heavily programmed by the amount of radio they've heard and the very media-dominated society that we live in. When we started Caroline in 64, there was only us and nobody else apart from the BBC, and they knew everything and we knew nothing. So it was we moved off and moved into the country slowly, and everything changed slowly. Now everyone wants it very quickly. I think if someone wants to start a radio station, I think they should have that right.
That's right.
So long as the programming is mature and is not harmful and doesn't cross any of the emergency frequencies in
okay.
the society.
Okay, Mikey B, you are with a radio station as well in Birmingham. What is the demand for your radio station? Are you just, you know, enthusiasts who set up in a back street somewhere and just hope that people are actually out there listening to you? Or do you actually have a demand for what you're doing?
Well, we have a demand for what we're doing, and unlike this gentleman here who, as I see it, this guy from Powerhouse Radio, there's no need for him to be on the air. And I see people like them that doing legitimate pirate station, or people who are striving to be legitimate and professional pirate station.
Well,
I see him doing a lot of
pirate, really, can you?
Whatever. We're trying to be as law-abiding, professional as possible. And I see this guy here as being a nuisance, basically, because a white person in this country does not need pirate radio. You have radios You have radios 1 to 4. You have regional BBCs, regional IBAs. Now, we're doing this radio not because we are no criminals or thugs. We're doing this because we believe in
it. Okay, well, how are the stations actually failing people at the moment, then?
No, can I answer this? He's talking to me at the moment. The stations are failing people like us for the very fact that there's none of us on the stations. We came in here as black people into the organisation tonight to a very nice club, right? Now, we've been in this country a lot of years, and no matter what we do, I was born in this country, I can speak very good English.
Okay.
We are not accepted.
You meant that? I'm going to throw that straight back. We have the gentleman from Radio WN, Mr. Inchley. You're the station manager there, are you not? Are there real areas of broadcasting that you're not catering for?
Oh, yeah, yes, I accept that totally. But, I mean, I would adopt the attitude that we welcome competition. We're happy for everyone to play the game, but let's all play by the same rules.
You give us a chance to get in and play by the rules.
Yeah. Well, okay, let us...
But I do not make the rules. The government make the rules. We know very well what's going to be happening, which we welcome. But so let's therefore have the same standards. Don't cause the problems that Ian Rufus had to face. Don't poach my news bulletins. Don't lift my police and traffic bulletins.
Enterprise will not get involved in anything like that.
So let's play it all by the same rules. And I think that will be a very exciting
future. You mentioned the government line. Martin Brandon Bravo was with, who's a parliamentary private secretary of the Home Office. You know, the government line, I think, has been made relatively clear. I mean, what do you feel that these pirates should actually be doing now, having made it very clear about the community stations?
Getting off the air and applying for the licences that the government are now making available to them. I think from perhaps totally different perspectives, Simon Dee and the two radio station chief executives have made the point that you cannot have a total free-for-all. There aren't unlimited slots. There is the public interest to be catered for. It has to be done by an independent, non-political body, and that is what the government is seeking to do. And now that they have accepted that community radio is required, is necessary, and there is a need for it, they're offering those licences, but they will only give them to people who will play by the rules.
Can these particular companies then, or organisations be guaranteed a licence?
I wouldn't guarantee anyone a licence who didn't demonstrate that they were prepared to play by the rules. And if they want a licence in X months' time, get off the air now.
Wait a minute. The government,
Parliament has to make those rules. There is no other body in this country that can deal with the public interest as best we can in Parliament to make the rules, to set out the framework.
Let me just spell out one rule in particular, because if anyone is caught illegally broadcasting after January, they will not be able to hold a licence for something like 5 years. Is that correct?
Absolutely right.
Now, that comes over to you fair and squarely. If you're caught come January broadcasting, then there's no chance of you getting a community radio station anyway. So why don't you go off the air now?
Because a few years ago, they had this offer of help us now and benefit later, and then they change the rules. Basically, what we're doing, we're not doing something out here going out in a cloak and dagger fashion after money, whatever. What we're doing is catering for a need, because there are black kids. Enterprise is a station geared at helping black people. We're a station putting over black music, news and information from a black's point of view in as professional a manner as possible. Now, it's all well and good for BRMB to be able to come here and laugh and smile at us in our little makeshift tower box or whatever, right? And they're in their lovely air-conditioned studios. But have they asked themselves the question, why are people listening? Why are we showing up on their surveys? Because they're not catering. I've got a letter here, right, which was sent in. It's an open letter which was sent to me from a guy by the name of Brian Parsons, which is his number and everything, and it's an open letter to the three local stations. Now, this is a collection of white bands that contacted me and said, the legal stations aren't helping us. Maybe you'd like to help us. And he's telling me, as two organizations trying to make real changes in the musical culture and life of this city, it would be useful to collaborate more closely.
Okay, the point I asked you, would you go off the air if you were guaranteed to have a license? You would do?
Yeah, tomorrow.
Okay. Tony DeVito, does that apply to your station?
Well, no, on Kiss FM, it's not black, it's not white, it's to cater for everyone. It's more to cater, because these guys, they try and cater, they play middle-of-the-road stuff to please everyone, and it tends to be your 35s upwards, which is fine, but the people that we play for, Kiss FM being a dance station...
But they provide a news service, they provide a traffic service.
We're not trying to do that. We're a dance music station. There's no news, there's no weather report, there's nothing. It's dance music 24 hours a day that these guys aren't providing. It's the same as what a club in Birmingham, 18 to 30, their clientele... Because these guys aren't providing that service, perhaps one show once a week,
Ian Rufus, by the very nature of the industry, can you please everyone all the time?
No, of course we can't. We operate under a remit from the Independent Broadcasting Authority to be all things to all people. And there are 24 hours in any day, and we can't go beyond that. We would like to do more, but as I say, there are 24 hours in any one day. There is room for these people. There's undoubtedly room.
Members of the community of Great Britain.
If you're members of the community, you have to play by the rules of the community.
What rules?
Not my rules. The rules that have been in your office at BRMB for the last five years and negotiate with you.
I'm talking to you now. I haven't sit and negotiated with you, right? For the last 5 years.
to get a program to cover the ethnic groups. At the present moment, have you got a program?
168 hours, a 1-2-hour program, yes? On BRMB.
BRMB broadcast. BRMB been broadcasting now 14 years.
Let me stress.
At the present moment, you've got not one program that is directed to the ethnic group.
Okay.
Of Africa.
Let me stress.
You do not care. We know that. And in the third meeting, okay. I said to you, unless you prepare something for PCRL.
Cecil,
you're
not gonna argue.
I hope your DJ's going to run like this.
You're going to lose out somewhere, aren't you?
No, I'm saying to you.
Play by the rules.
You yourself said that you at BRMB can cater for the Afro-Caribbean people. And we need a station of our own. 6 weeks after you said that.
I've got the solution.
Lord Such,
a solution here, right? What we need is these chaps are absolutely right. Because this is not a new subject. It's been going on since the 50s.
Exactly.
From the 50s. Forget the 60s. The 50s it started, when black music went underground because it was only getting played on a few handful of stations, and white artists were getting the gold records. Who got the gold records for Tutti Frutti and Long Tall Sally? Pat Boone. Am I right? Little Richard didn't get it. So there's a need for these different styles of radio, and they're all right. So why not have a people's radio, which can be 24 hours a day, and all these independent pirates
can
apply to that.
There are ways and means of getting that message
across. Give them that one station and give them nationwide coverage.
Let us just remind ourselves that the stations that are operating at the moment, because we're governed by the IBA, the stations that are operating at the moment are outside the law. And
so there's a need for it.
Sometimes the way in which the stations take the law into their own hands is quite difficult.
Yeah, but they said they don't want to break the law. They don't want to pollute
Clifford,
the airways.
Clifford Crook has joined us this evening. And now, we're not talking about the Birmingham area, but we are talking about other areas where your men have had to go in and effectively police the airwaves. What kind of things have you been greeted with?
Well, I represent the people who have to preside over this, well, it seems to me like chaos here, where you have, the government want clean airways. The stations want clean airways. There are about 90 people...
And these people want access to the airwaves.
Yes, there are about 90 people in this country whose job it is to try and enforce the law. And these people raid the pirate stations. They can be met... I mean, the pirate stations here, I can understand the community needs of Birmingham and the points that are being made. But they are illegal, and these people are employed to enforce the law. Now, we have members who have been beaten up. They almost every time they try and enforce the law, they get verbal threats.
I just want to stress, we're not talking about Birmingham here.
We're talking about Birmingham in particular. We're talking about the country as a whole. A couple of months ago, a man of 35 retired from the service after being beaten up in London by minders of transmitters with pickaxe handles. He was attacked. That is the different side of the scene that the law enforcement people have got to do.
Martin Brandon Bravo, the Home Office has got to stop that in some way and stamp it down. It's got to come up with some kind of a peaceful solution. What would your message be once again to the stations that are operating in the likes of Birmingham or anywhere else in the country at the moment, in the light of what's happening with the white paper?
A very simple message. The need has been recognised, provision is being made for it, community radio is going to be licensed, and those who want to share in that new opportunity must obey the law. If somebody is broadcasting now and saying, we'll go on broadcasting until you give us a license, then I would say those people are the wrong people to have a license. If they really want to legitimise themselves, they must play by the rules.
Okay, Cecil Morris, you will have the last word. Will you take the station off the air so that you can get a license? Do you trust the...
If you were guaranteed, so far, from what the promises that's been made by the Home Office and the government so far, is not something for me to say I can trust. So many times they have been backfiring. In 1983, there should have been 21 test transmission franchise available. That was put aside. Just before the general election, Margaret Thatcher said, after the general election, we will have community radio into being. So far, that hasn't come about. I'd like to state one more fact.
Off the air to get a license?
If we were guaranteed that we would get a license, we'd go off the air tonight.
Okay, well, that seems to me totally black and white, and the same goes for your organisation.
That's agreed, then.
Okay, that's agreed, then. We can agree
here
now. Can I just say, it is so rare to reach any agreement on this programme, but that is it, we've reached it. Sue!
There's a need for it.
Thank you very much indeed. You say at least we're legal, decent, honest and truthful, or at least we try to be, which is why I'm now going to make an apology to Mrs. Poles from Stourbridge. Mrs. Poles, I am sorry. You rang in and you were in favour of the abortion pill. You said that you had multiple... You what? Have multiple dystrophy, not multiple sclerosis. You have muscular dystrophy, not multiple sclerosis. All written down wrong here, even so. But we are trying to get it right, and we are sorry if that distressed you at all. Anyway, stay tuned to us after the break when...